I'm the one that told Larry that Joel's coming next week. So I repent, brother, and it's a good example of why we have deacons. I want to start off by just mentioning yesterday was a very special day in a lot of ways. I got to go over and be part of Josh and Katie's getting their new home and getting in there and being able to start getting established. And that's an exciting time to see ladies and men helping them do that. Then later on, I was fortunate to be able to go over to the visitation of the family that Nate mentioned. And I was there with all my kids, and that was a very special occasion. And when Nate led that song, Holy, 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 that's the favorite song of Little Sawyer that died. And I just want to take a moment to thank our song leaders. We have very, very thoughtful song leaders. Some of our song leaders track their songs to make sure we take advantage of all the songs available and sing very timely songs and lead very timely songs. And sometimes that's a challenge to pick out the right songs, and I'm very thankful for all of our song leaders. This morning I want to talk about something that the lesson isn't exactly like my father-in-law preached in 1948, but it's got a lot of the substance of it. What is man that you are mindful of him? This morning I believe I have all the scriptures on a PowerPoint. I know some people have asked me for that, and sometimes I can do that, and sometimes the lesson lends itself to it. This one does. So, what is man that you are mindful of him? This comes from a couple of passages, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, and then Psalm, it's got a quotation from Psalm. Both of them, they're kind of a different context. In Hebrews chapter 2, it starts off, you know, in verse 6, but one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? So that's what we're going to focus on. But in this context, it kind of leads itself to talking about Jesus. Or the Son of Man that you take care of him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not from put under him, but now we do not see all things put under him. And then if we go to Psalm chapter 8, the focus here is more on man. It's a quote that this is based on, but the Hebrew writer takes it in a different direction to show that man is made a little lower, but Jesus was too. And we should appreciate that. Let's read Psalm 8, starting in verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, the pass through the pass of the sea. And I went a little farther than that, just to show this is talking about man. In the grand scheme of things, in all the creation of God, what is man that you're mindful of? You know, man is very insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about this idea of, you know, the first point we want to look at is man is mindful of all that he's created. He's aware of everything that he's created. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 45. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Notice this. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He's aware of man. He's also aware of animals. He's aware of animals. He's aware of all his creation.
Psalm 104. It's a beautiful psalm. Reading the whole psalm is really a cool, it's a cool study by itself. But just taking some verses from that, 24 through 30. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, this great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. I got a little picture of a blue whale, and you probably can't see it. There's a diver there to kind of give the dimensions. The blue whale is the biggest thing that God has ever created. No dinosaur is bigger. No animal is bigger. And there's something I saw last week that I thought was really interesting. In the sea between South America and Antarctica, there's this place called South Georgia Island. And for about 50 years, only one blue whale was seen. And the last couple years, they've seen 55. A blue whale is big, and it's big. It eats crustaceans, small crustaceans, called krill. And it needs to eat 40 million of them a day to sustain itself. Now think about that, how God provides for this large animal, 40 million krill. I read something actually yesterday morning that just kind of astounded me. I'm still trying to get my arms around it. The blue whale is made so when he feeds, he can just grab a bunch of water and he just kind of filters through it to get to the food, and he can in one gulp take 220 tons of water. That's how big a blue whale is. Now think about this. God is aware of the blue whale. He provides for this huge monster of a beast. Surely he's mindful of all of his creation. And you know, when I think about feeding things, you know, as you have a family, you're thinking about feeding your family and stuff. And maybe we can have a little empathy for the Ericsons when you're trying to feed Caleb. Okay, I saw him yesterday probably eat a pizza by himself. And Jackson is no slouch either. So I feel, you know, when you think about feeding, okay, we're feeding. God provides for all his animals, even the biggest. It's pretty amazing to me. Pretty amazing. Birds. You guys know I love birds. Matthew 10:29. God's mindful of them. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Last Sunday was an interesting event between Bible study and worship. Our beloved Kevin came running up the aisle to me with excitement in his eyes, but I didn't know if it was horror or excitement for something positive. I thought maybe he's waving to me to come back to him. He's waving emphatically, you've got to come here. I thought maybe somebody fell, maybe somebody wants to be baptized. Yeah. So he says, follow me. We went out the door. He points over there. And on our property over here was a big turkey vulture feeding on a dead animal. See, Kevin knows me. It's great to have brothers that know you. You know, God provides for all the birds. He provides for all the birds. And whether it's the food on the side of the road or the seeds or the plants, God provides for them. He's mindful of his creation. Why is God so mindful of man? You know, it's a good question we can ask. Why is, you know, what is man that you're mindful of him? Man is his offspring. In Luke chapter 3, verse 38, you see there's a genealogy there. It goes all the way back to the Son of God. We're God's offspring. I don't know if we think of it that way as much as we should. We're all God's offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, this is what Paul told the folks, the Athenians. Since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. We are the offspring of God. We. Each one of us is important to God because we're His offspring. Man's dependent on God. We're dependent on God. Nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. See, God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need us. We need Him. Since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. Man was made in His image. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." We read about this dominion over in Psalms and Hebrews, okay? But what I want you to focus on is He's made us in our image, in His image. You know, it's interesting to see a mom and dad, and they have a child. And that child, you can see the parents in that child. Whether it's the way they look, or whether it's their behavior, sometimes it's the way they walk, sometimes it's a word they use. It's really fascinating. You know, they're made in their parents' image. Do we realize we're made in the image of God? What a wonderful thought that is. What is man that you are mindful of him? We're made in God's image. That's a wonderful thing. And the fact is, he loves us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5:6-8, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Very humbling to realize, why is God so mindful of me? It's because he loves me. He loves you. He loves all his creation. And that's a wonderful thing. And this is something I hadn't really thought about until this lesson. God desires our love. He desires our love. John 14:23. And I think Jesse's going to put this up on our sign. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Why is God so mindful of man? He desires our love. And we should be grateful for that. Of what is God mindful of? You know, he's mindful of our needs, our lost condition, our weakness, our sorrows, our labor, love, our temptations, his own promises. Luke 12:30, "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things." God knows our needs. He understands our needs. He understands our needs sometimes better than we do. Sometimes we pray for things that we don't need, and we don't pray for things that we do need. God knows what we need. We need to ask him to help us with those needs. He's aware of our lost condition. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." You know, that's all of us. Rodney Pitts, the grandfather of Sawyer, and the father of Aaron, and the father-in-law of Josh, the family that died, he best showed me a Facebook post he had. And he talked about the love that's been sustaining him and his family. And he talked about how it's overwhelming, of the love for a sinner like him. We're all sinners. We all need the Lord. And God knows that. and he knows that. He's aware of our weaknesses. Again, this is a verse that I hadn't really looked at this way until this sermon. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
It's not easy admitting we have weaknesses, is it? We all want to be strong. We all want to be able to handle everything. The fact is we do have weaknesses. The fact is that the sooner we admit we have weaknesses, the better and stronger we're going to be. Here we have Jesus, our great high priest, who understands. He understands all our weaknesses. What a blessing that is. He understands our sorrows. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. I mentioned how me and my kids were at the visitation yesterday. The line was so long it took us 4 hours to get to talk to the family. The outpouring of love was something to behold. It was unbelievable. You talk about people trying to bear the burden of sorrows. It was striking to me. And it was just an illustration of God's love. He understands our sorrows. He understands realizes we need each other to understand our sorrows. And that love can be overwhelming in a good way. What is God mindful of? He's mindful of our sorrows. No matter what each one of us here is going through, God is mindful of that. He's mindful of what you're going through. He's mindful of the things that create sorrow in your life. And when it comes down to sins, Jesus took those on at the cross. Larry is talking about things he did when he was younger that he regrets. How many of us have things that we regret? How many of us have things that we wish we could have done differently? How many of us have things that weigh us down sometimes if we think about them too much? Look at this. And he carried our sorrows. We even have a song about that. And he carried our sorrows. God's mindful of our sorrows. Our labor of love. This is really cool. In Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. What is that labor of love? Which you have shown toward his name and you have ministered to the saints and do minister. When you watch brethren helping each other, it's a beautiful thing. And what's behind all that? It's a labor of love. We love each other. We love God. He's mindful of our temptations. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Hebrews 2:18. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We read this in the teenage class this morning. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Of what is God mindful of? Our temptations. He's mindful of it. He's provided us a way to escape. And as I told the teenagers this morning, I had them look in my eye and I said, you know what? Always remember, no matter what the temptation is, God will give you an escape. Sometimes we got to dig a little bit to find it. But God will give us an escape. What a blessing that is. What is God mindful of? His own promises. Psalm 111:5. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant.
2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's a powerful promise. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. What is God mindful of? His own promises. Of whom has he been mindful of? The Jews. Psalm 115:12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He's mindful of the righteous. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And he's also mindful of those who seek him. This one's a little smaller print. I apologize for that. This is a passage that a lot of us like to go to. And I want to read it all. This is in Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. It's right in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. What is man that you are mindful of him? He's mindful of all who seek him. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. When I read this passage, I realize I shouldn't be fretting about things. I mentioned to some of you, I tend to be tempted to fret about things, become anxious about things. And sometimes things in life can be tempting to fret about. If you watch the stock market too much the last couple weeks, you can fret. If you watch the news about viruses, you can fret. You have a job that's challenging, you can fret about that. You know, this is a passage I need to go to. God doesn't want us to fret. He doesn't want us to worry about it. He's provided for us. We need to keep our focus on putting his kingdom first. And he'll provide for whatever we need. And it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. That's talking to me. I tend to worry. In my job lately, it's been challenging. It's been kind of day to day. And I've realized the Lord is trying to help me. He wants me to depend on him, not worry about the job. Maybe there's something in your life that you fret about. What is man that you are mindful of? He's mindful of every one of us. What we need and our everyday struggles, he doesn't want us to worry about it. He wants us to take it one day at a time, putting him first. Last scripture I got this morning, of whom has he been mindful? All who seek him. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Notice the provisions he's made for everybody. Notice what Jesus tells his disciples to do, his apostles to do. Go and make disciples of all the nations. And notice the emphasis on baptism. The world doesn't want to realize that or acknowledge that. Notice the emphasis on baptism. That's how one becomes a child of God. Do they know everything? No. He talks about that. He says, once they're baptized, teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. What is man that you are mindful of him? Of whom has he been mindful? All who seek him. Maybe this morning, there's one in our audience that needs to be baptized. To put on the Lord. To start your relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. To start walking with God. Start making your first priority his kingdom. Maybe you know it's time. There's no better time than right now. Maybe you haven't been walking like you should. You know, God is mindful of us. He's ready and able and lovingly wanting to help whatever you're going through. Maybe you need the help of the brethren. Maybe you need some prayers. We're here to help with that as well. This is what we covered. What may be learned from the text, why is God so mindful of man? Of what is God mindful? Of whom has he been mindful? Then the question comes, what is your response? What is my response? We have a God that is so caring. In the grand universe, we're just mere specks. And he provides for us in every way, including giving his son. If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.